How many people want to change? You know, not everybody wants to change. I found that out early in life. Not everybody wants to change. But when we want to change, God is more than able to meet your need. He's more than able to meet and be there for you. And it's remarkable how he begins to open up. I've seen what he's beginning to open up for me just in the grace. As I begin to understand what grace truly is, how it's changed and affected both my life and those around me. So, if you go flip over to Luke 9, we're going to just do a quick review. One of the things that LaRue's been talking about is surrender, grace, and the hedge. And so what I'm going to begin to do today, I want to define a little bit more about what this grace is. But at the same time, I also want to take us and just take a little look here in Luke 9 about the surrender. Because you can't have grace until you surrender. Grace comes out of the surrender. So that's what we need to take a look first. 9 verse 23. He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, LaRue's taught really great things on denying self. Denying self. When we deny self, that there's a separation between it and that thing. I want to take a look here. What is to take up your cross? What happened when Jesus took up his cross? When Jesus took up his cross, he was submitting himself under the hand of the Father, the will of the Father. When we take up our cross daily, we're submitting ourselves under the will of the Father. As we submit ourselves under the will of the Father, then we can begin to have the right order established in our life. As he accepted the Father's will, the cross had to come so that the body of sin could be put away. When we surrender, the body of sin that we've operated in is put away. Because we're reliving that which he already acted out for us. As we pick up our cross, we're coming underneath the hand and the will of the Father. The enmity that was between God and man because of the sin issue, that hatred that was there because of the sin issue, it had to fall away so that he could restore relationship for you. And it's out of that relationship that we begin to cultivate this place with God. See, he comes and gives us the access. That's what opens up the door. And, you know, somehow we get the idea that when we surrender our will, we're losing something. Come on, be real. Okay? If I'm giving up my will, I'm losing something. That's the thought. Otherwise, we would just always give it up. Okay? Don't be religious on me. Every one of you's done it. I've done it. LaRue's done it. And the deal is, if we understood what it is. See, when Jesus submitted his will, he got you. When you submit your will, you get him. When you submit your will, you get him. When Jesus submitted his will to the Father got sons. When you submit your will, you get to be in sonship. You get to be in relationship. You get to be in heirship. Your heirship comes from the surrender. Your inheritance comes from the surrender. What did Jesus say in John 17, verse 24? I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What more could we ask for than to be with him and behold his glory? Because as we behold His glory, we're changed by the image of that which we're looking into. As we're changed by the image of what we're looking into, there's something that happens in us. As we behold His glory, from glory to glory, we're changed. That's not just from, hey, I got one peak here, I got an emotional high here today, and then I got an emotional high here tomorrow, but the next day I didn't. No, He's talking about when I look into the image of God, who He really is, I am changed by that which I see. I am changed by that which is being radiated into my understanding and my belief system as I begin to know Him more precisely. As I know Him more precisely, I no longer am subject to the error of man. I'm no longer subject to many of the things that religion tries to tell us who God is and who He isn't. I know Him as healer. I know Him as provider. Because now I can see Him in a different way. You know, He was sharing out of Matthew 6 earlier. If you want to change, you said you wanted to change. If you want to change, get in the place of acknowledging God. Get in the place of acknowledging Him by His Word. Several times I've been asked, with this change that we see in you, it comes from the acknowledging of His Word. The acknowledging of His Word in me. More specifically, as I begin to acknowledge Christ in me, as I begin to acknowledge this Word that He's stored up in me, and as I begin to see the power and effect that it has, then it can change the atmosphere around me. But until it changes me, it can't touch everything else. God, allow it to change me. When we see our surrender as a gift, when we see our surrender as the place, the jumping off place for everything that God wants to do, then we've come into alignment with Him. Part of this surrender is what opens the door for grace, which is more specifically what I wanted to talk about tonight. He opens the door for grace. Because now no longer am I over here mucking it up with trying to get in there with my hands and do something in my own human sufficiency, but I'm allowing God to do what He wants to do. I'm no longer stirring the pot out of my own effort. I'm saying, God, I tried that. I don't even know how this is supposed to be, but Lord, I'm willing to try it Your way. I mean, as simple as that, really. I had a prayer with a gentleman just recently, and in this moment, I realized, I don't know how to do this thing Your way, Lord, because of all I've ever done, it's my way. So I said, Lord, I just surrender to You, because I don't know how to do this. All I know is how to do it in my own flesh, but Lord, I think and I see here that You want to do something different in my life. You want to do something different for this gentleman's life. And Lord, and so we just surrender to You and we ask You, Lord, to show us the way. Let Your grace show us the way. And you know what? The prayer was answered the very next day. Very next day. God showed the way, how to do it in a different way. And it got results. Results that we couldn't have achieved probably in months of our own self-effort. As I begin to understand this grace, things have been breaking loose in my life. I told you earlier that, a couple weeks ago, that after 5 months, my wife had had an interview and they came back to her and said, where were we on this process? Did you say yes or no or what? 5 months later, this job has been held up. This promotion had been held up. And then they said, well, we're at a conference right now, so we'll get to you next week. And then they called back the next day and said, no, we want you here this afternoon at the conference. And they hired her there at the conference that afternoon. So she starts tomorrow. God is in the promotion business if we'll surrender it to Him. He's in the promotion business if we'll allow Him to give us into the grace and allow the grace to have its work in us. It's a matter of allowing and seeing grace for what it is. Because it is your inheritance. The fullness of grace is your inheritance. It's a fullness that's coming to every one of us. Flip over to Acts 20. If grace is our inheritance, then we better find out what it is so we can come into alignment with it. We better find out what it is. For Acts 20, verse 32, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified." Is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Did you ever, in wildest dream, know that grace did that? That it builds you up? That it gives you an inheritance? So my question is, how does it build me up? That was my question before God. How does it build me up, Lord? What's grace doing in my life that it builds me up? I know what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and builds me up. He says he builds me up in my most holy faith. When I pray in tongues, how's grace coming into play with this? It says to those, he builds you up and gives you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Who are the ones who are sanctified? It's those that God's Spirit can begin to inhabit. Those whose lives have set themselves apart because they've managed to allow God to create a place of surrender in them so that they can come and let his grace inhabit them. Second Timothy 2:21, you don't have to turn there, it says, these are the ones who were vessels of honor, meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. We're vessels of honor. Those who have chosen by their life to be a vessel of honor. Who set aside dishonor so they could become a vessel of honor. So that they could be meet for the master's use for every good work. These are the ones who are sanctified. It's not something you do. It's something you allow to be done. It's not something about what we manage to do in our holiness. It's about what we now need to surrender to. The kingdom of God is not about the gift that we bring to it. The kingdom of God is how much we'll surrender under it. How much we'll allow the hand of God to minister in our life. To minister to us and in us and then through us. So with I had those questions in mind, I found a few things. But first of all, Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace, we are saved through faith. By grace, we are saved through faith. See, grace builds you up because your forgiveness and grace are forever linked. Your forgiveness came by the grace of God. And they're forever linked. You can't do anything to earn that forgiveness. God already gave it to you by grace. When we operate in perfectionism, when we operate in self-condemnation or self-pity, guilt, unworthiness, all these things say that we don't know grace yet. We haven't found the grace of God to operate in our life yet. Because see, all these things come from a lack of understanding of the forgiveness that we've actually received. If I understand the forgiveness that I have, I'm no longer unworthy. I can't be, because he declared me to be worthy. So when I walk in the fullness of the worthiness that he declared, then I am changed by that worthiness. It begins to change the core belief inside of you. Grace is released into the core of who you are. Until we understand our forgiveness, we can't begin to understand the author and perfecter of our faith because we can't come and meet him eye to eye. If I'm unworthy, I can't come to God and meet him eye to eye. If I feel the guilt and the pressure of all those things that I've done in the past, I'm not likely to come into His presence. But yet He's my access. Grace is my access. Romans 3:24 tells us that we're freely justified by His grace. Guilt no longer drives my behavior when I understand my forgiveness. I'm not having to run from my past any longer. I don't care who knows what about my life. I don't care what it is, anything else that's going on. I am able to be free in front of everyone. Because grace has come into my life. And with that grace comes an unconditional love. When I understand His grace, and that grace that gave me my salvation, when I understand that grace that gave me my forgiveness, then I no longer have to be perfect. I don't have to walk in perfection. And I can quit sabotaging. A member of my family, and he continually sabotages it. Every time a good thing is happening in his life, he continually sabotages it because he doesn't understand what God has done for him. That one's a little frustrating for me, Ben, because I know the truth and I can help him with the truth if you just want to listen and receive. We don't have to be perfect. Just raise your hands and say, God, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect. I celebrate tonight because I don't have to be perfect. We don't have to. It's a very freeing thing. One of the most intense things you can ever find is that place of just total transparency. Total transparency. You know, if we could be totally transparent with one another all the time, there's nothing can stop us. When the armor of light comes on you, when you're in total transparency, you've set yourself up for the armor of light to be upon you. And when you're totally transparent, there's nothing that can no longer harm you. The thing that hurts us is when we try to cover up. You know, there is nothing that's going to change that. There's nothing that's going to change us when we're trying to cover up. I've watched people come into my office, and just by the fact that they took that ugly thing and they talked about it and let it out, changed their life. They didn't have to do anything else. We didn't have to cast out any devils. That was the devil. Darkness was the devil. So sharing it and getting it out just makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. I don't have to run from our past. We can confront it because God has given you the grace to confront. He's giving you the grace to confront every circumstance and every situation of your past, your present, and your future. You can stand in the certainty of who He is. And the certainty of the knowledge that He loves you when you understand His grace. Flip over to Titus 2. This is going to be point number 2. That was all point number 1. By grace we are saved. Point number 2. Titus 2:11. Lord, we just thank You for this grace and the revelation of grace, Father. For in the revelation of You is a revelation of grace. The Word says, Father, that grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of You. So, Father, we receive today a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. That's a wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this grace that You're giving unto us. Titus 2:11 says this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Instructing. There's not a period there. There's a comma. This is all part of one sentence. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Still a comma. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, semicolon, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. That's your grace. Grace is teaching you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It's teaching you and instructing you, if you'll begin to listen, tune your ear to grace, understanding that it's there, and then begin to tune your ear to what grace is saying. Because the grace is going to be a revelation of who God is. It's going to be a revelation of who God is. And as we understand who God is, then we're going to automatically begin to make the right changes. See, because out of right believing come right habits. Out of right habits come right actions. As we allow grace to have its work in us. See, we've used grace as an excuse to run off and do our own thing. But in actuality, grace is exactly the opposite. It's the thing that's calling us into alignment. It's calling us into conformity with the will of God. It's calling us into righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We no longer have to use grace as an excuse. We can use grace for what it's really intended for, as an access to our sanctification. It's the thing that draws us into sanctification. When we begin to understand grace, we begin to understand our Savior. And we see the fullness of what He did for us. We see the fullness of what He bore for our sake. When we see the pain that He took for us. You don't want to do anything more to cause him pain. When you see that in him, you don't want to be the source of that for someone else. You don't want to be the source of that for him. When you see him, and you see him upon the cross, that's what he's talking about here. When you see him upon the cross, and you see that pain that's upon him, and that suffering that's upon him, that you were the source of. You don't want to be there anymore. It causes you to realize and realign your priority and what's important in your thought process. See, grace is the power to change you. He's redeemed us here, it says, from every lawless deed and purifies for himself a people for his own possession. You'll be flipping to Romans 6. He's redeeming you for his own possession. Because he values you. You know, it's very easy in this world to forget that we are valued by someone. And he values each of us as an individual. He values all that he has put into you. And every hope and every dream and every aspiration, if you have children, you know what that's about. He values you. He didn't leave you defenseless. He left you his word. He left you his spirit. He left you his grace. He left you his glory. He left you, most importantly, his love. This scripture here, Romans 6 and 14, it's the power to change you. To me, is the jumping off point for grace. Because to me, this is the quintessential portion of grace. It says right here, for sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. You're not under law, but under grace. So now, therefore, if grace is the thing that I'm coming under, then I'm put in a situation of dominion over sin. It's that simple. When I'm standing under God's grace, I'm in authority over sin. So if I have a major sin issue in my life, I haven't come to understand the grace that's been given to me yet. And I understand how to come under this grace, then I can step out of the sin. See, Romans 7 tells us the law was holy, righteous, and good. And that's great. But there's one problem. There's nothing in the law that makes you holy, righteous, and good. There's no life in it. Galatians 3:21 tells you that. The flesh, Romans 3:20 says that there's no flesh by the law, no flesh is justified. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. See, out of the law comes, and Luke talked about this pretty extensively on Sunday, won't dwell on that part, but out of the law, see, it shows you the problem, but it's not capable of giving you the solution. It's not the solution. You know, one of the things that we have a question about, well, if I step into grace and I just wholeheartedly give myself to grace, what is the authority that's over me? Grace is that authority. And I'll show you to you. I'll give you an example here. See, the law can't change you. Grace can. Say you have a desire for chocolate cake. And that desire is manifested because you have in you. So you have this unholy desire for chocolate cake. It's well beyond the average normal bear. And it's coming from a need for love. Somebody coming up and telling you you can't have chocolate cake isn't going to fix the problem because it doesn't change you. What does it do? If you're like some people, just the rebellion in you makes you want to go get the cake then. Because you said I couldn't. Now, if the punishment's severe enough, the punishment will keep me away from that cake. Okay? If I know I'm going to get my little fingers broken for sticking them out there, the punishment will keep me away from the cake. But again, that's the law, and the law didn't change you. What does grace do? Grace comes in and it begins to show you the love of God. It begins to reveal the love of God. And out of the revealing of the love of God, he steps into this place of this need for acceptance. And as he fills that need for acceptance, and suddenly the desire is struck down at the root. No more do you have the desire for the chocolate cake. No more do you have this unhealthy, unholy thing going on. It doesn't matter if it's cake or crack cocaine. It doesn't matter if it's cake or sex. Okay? Because the reality is, there's an unholiness that can be had in anything that's good. America is eating itself into oblivion, so it doesn't matter what it is. But what matters is that's how grace begins to step into our life and align itself with us. And as we allow that alignment of grace to come over our life, as we allow the fullness of grace to begin showing us who Christ really is and filling those places that we were trying to fill with something that was unhealthy, something that was unholy. Now, as because we came into alignment with grace, we've become master over that. We've become master over that. We're master over the sin. Because grace. When grace comes in, it changes us at the core. It changes us at the core because no longer are we responding to the enemy's inputs. The things that have always traditionally pushed our buttons no longer have to push our buttons because now our core is settled. Our core has been activated in grace. And no longer do we have to be just a pinata that the enemy's bats back and forth, day after day. But we can begin to say, no, I must be stable right here in grace. You know, in Genesis 4, this is Cain and Abel. Cain's made his offering, Abel's made his offering, Abel was accepted and Cain was not. Verse 5, for Cain and his offering he had no regard, being the Lord. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, here's the warning. Sin is crouched at your door. Its desire is for you. But you must master it. When grace came in, it gave us the power to be master over the sin. For the first time in history, man had the power to be master over the sin. Because obviously he didn't. Cain did not. But God told him, it's coming. It's a promise. It's a promise. And he was putting it out there, because I'm going to give you to operate in this power. Sin has a desire, and that desire is for you. Out of that, you have a response. And there's a whole bunch of us who's like this. I can continue to blame my dad for all my problems all my life. Or I can take personal responsibility and begin saying, hey, that may have been happening, but that was my past. And I can take responsibility for this moment and from this moment forward. And as I begin to do so, I begin to have mastery over the sin. I begin to have mastery over the past. I begin to stand in the fullness of a new performance. One that's not based in my effort, but in His. Amen. Our mastery is not about what we do. It's about how much we surrender. It's about how much we surrender. It's time for us to quit being so sin conscious and start becoming grace conscious in our life. Because see, as we become grace conscious, and we become grace conscious, we see the fullness of God that's available to us and we step into it. And we step into it. It's all you got to do. It's been made available to us to step into it. The fullness of God is available to you. Of His fullness, we've all partaken. You get to partake as much as you want. So take it all. Take it all. He's saying, come, take it all. I made it available. Take it all. Because see, as you take it all, you're going to be changed. And as you're changed, you become a world changer. Take it all. Lord, we do. Do we just take it all? All the grace, Lord, that You'll afford us, Father. We take it all. We partake, Lord, of this grace. And we take it all. I thank You, Father, for the ultimate goodness that's in this grace. The ultimate goodness that's in this grace. I thank You for the unconditional love that is revealed to us in grace. But I thank You that, Lord, we come to You and You are the propitiation of our faith and that Your goodness is revealed in grace. And we receive it tonight. Hallelujah.